It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday presented by our dudes over at SeatGeek. We love them. I still got at least one more concert to go to this summer. Counting Crows and Live at Hershey Park Stadium. Cannot wait. Live was big. Lightning Crashes when I was in high school. Oh, man, that was big. Anyway, enter promo code Tucker in the SeatGeek app like I do to get $20 off already lowest ticket prices for baseball or, like I said, concerts. Or, dude, how about when preseason football comes up? You can get really inexpensive tickets for preseason football and get $20 off with the promo code Tucker. Spread the word, winner, every week. It's a retweet of Bri at RTF Podcast or me at Ross Tucker NFL. It's easy peasy. It's still beyond me why more of you don't do it, but whatever. I guess you have your reasons. Or you can just like the Facebook page, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It all counts. It all helps. And remember, for the sponsor confirmation emails these days, not only do I guarantee I'll read and respond to your question, but you get a free month of Tuckheads. Just got a couple emails from people saying, are you kidding me? I get a free month of Tuckheads just for this? Yes, just for this. You're in. You definitely get a free month of Tuckheads between now and September 1st. Take advantage of any of our awesome sponsors. I think he took advantage of the Mott and Bow deal. Take advantage of any of our awesome sponsors, and boom, you get a free month to try out Tuckheads with all of the... We've gotten some awesome new Tuckheads recently, by the way. I mean, Ron and David, and they've been filling it up. It's been awesome. Speaking of filling it up, so excited for today's guest. I actually went on her podcast last week. She is Melissa Jacobs, and she is the football girl. And frankly, as a guy that has two daughters and who knows a lot of, we have a lot of female listeners. We've got several females on Tuckheads, which I love. I love the women we have on Tuckheads. I thought it was just about time to get Melissa Jacobs, the football girl's perspective, on a bunch of NFL topics. She is today's big show.
The Big Show.
Very, very excited for today's guest, Melissa Jacobs. You might know her as the Football Girl. She has an awesome, awesome website, thefootballgirl.com, with podcasts and articles and fantasy advice and everything. It's really, really impressive and awesome, Melissa. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Ross, and I'd already like to hire you as my PR person.
Well, why don't we start there? Because what you've built up is really impressive, but I feel like we can't really get to that point until we know how you got there. So where are you from, and kind of how did you become the football girl?
Yeah, so I had a bit of a twisty road. I mean, I'm from the Bay Area, which is where I live now, but I basically started my career in radio at KNBR, which, as you may know, is a big sports station. I thought I wanted to be a sports agent, actually, and I thought the law school part would be kind of easy, but I was like, well, I need to know people in sports, and I never looked back from sports media. I wanted to be one of, you know, like the trailblazing female sports agent that basically represented mainstream male athletes, which luckily now exists. But so I was in radio and I loved it, and I basically wound up becoming the executive producer at a very young age. And I was covering the 49ers and the Raiders a little bit. And then I got recruited by ESPN. So then I moved to Connecticut and was a producer at ESPN Radio, and then kind of quickly got the bug that I wanted to do television. That was the glamour at the time. And so I basically crafted a job that was a talent producer job, which was very rooted in booking, but kind of pitched it as a department. So then I got to work on the TV side, and then it became a department, and it was great. But I really had an entrepreneurial spirit, like, all along, and I you know, I've always loved the NFL, always. I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area and sort of the tail end of the Niners dynasty. And I, you know, and while at ESPN, I worked really, I was very entrenched on NFL Live. So I was dealing with players and agents and, you know, I had a lot of connections, if you will. So I kind of used that to commune with the NFL. And the NFL was trying to market to women. This was 2009, and they still are, obviously. And they were not so great at it from a non-apparel standpoint. So I thought I could kind of fill the void editorially and, like, present a product to women that treated them like real fans, not pink, not Super 101. So that's how it began.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so I was going to say, I envision you, when you said you're Bay Area and the football girl, I'm sitting here thinking she grew up when it was Montana and Rice and Rathman and and Brent Jones, or and then maybe even Dwight Clark, I don't know. And then certainly Steve Young and Ricky Waters. And I can imagine there were a lot of people that fell in love in the NFL living in the Bay Area at that time.
Oh, completely. I just thought you were going to make me say my age, but a little more of the Steve Young, Ricky Waters. Yeah, I mean, it was contagious. It's kind of like how the Warriors are now. Even if you weren't, I mean, I just inherently love sports. I loved baseball. I loved everything. So I was naturally going to gravitate to the football team, especially when they were, you know, a dynasty. But yeah, it was just at that period of time, it just kind of overtook the city and the surrounding areas. I mean, you would really have to hate sports to not be a 49ers fan at that point.
So, okay, so that's the background. When did you exactly start the site, the Football Girl site?
So I started it in 2009. I was working also, I didn't quite finish, but I wound up working on the SBs. I wound up having, like, various contracts with ESPN to kind of work on, like, their frivolous stuff, like, do, you know, parties and things with athletes and, you know, the ESPYs, Jim Rome is burning. I worked on that show. So I got to, I was able to not live in Connecticut, which was one of my goals as a, like, 20 something year old who wanted to meet a family someday. I launched the site then. I thought, you know, I mean, obviously the NFL continues. I mean, you can make the argument because of ratings, however you want to post them, that we're still in a golden age. But even, you know, 2009, we're even more so, I think, you know, when you're looking at quarterback rooms and just sort of the things that we didn't really know as much at the time. It was sort of really compartmentalized football. And I think it was just really like a sheer love of it and not, you know, not any home for women at all. Actually, you know, the NFL did that. What they did, like, at their own, I think it was Procter & Gamble, one of their, you know, big sponsors still to this day, and they did, like, a 101 for women website, and I think it was Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who was, like, the face behind it, but it was all pink, and it was all, literally, it was, like, a field goal is worth 3 points, and we didn't offer much beyond that, so I wanted to rectify that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the NFL knows now, Melissa. I maybe they don't, but even just anecdotally on my show, and even, you know, like, I have a website, tuckheads.com, where my listeners, we all interact with each other. You know, it's kind of like a forum, I don't know, chat room deal where we just kind of, it's the only time where I get a chance to really interact with them rather than me just talking and them listening. And some of the best contributors and having the coolest thoughts are the women. You know, Betsy's awesome, Becky's amazing, Jenny's very cool. And so it's really opened my eyes, and even just from the emails I get, Kate Coley Baba emailed recently. You know, there are, I mean, obviously it's still male dominated in terms of my listeners, but there are a lot more women that really, they're not just casual NFL fans, they're like diehard passionate NFL fans.
Right. And I think, you know, that these numbers get thrown out every year, like 44% of the fan base are women, or 47%, and then you just have this subsection of human beings who just want to, you know, stigmatize, like, oh, they're just watching because of their boyfriends or their husbands, and they're not really seeping in. They watch the NFL differently than we do, as if, like, a controversial call isn't a controversial call that we're all thinking about. So, yeah, it's nice. You know, I think also through, like, social media, I mean, it's great that you have your forum and you're, you know, a person, you know, you have your eyes open, you're accepting, if you will. But I think social media just allowing us, I mean, there's so many women out there. It's crazy, you know, in sports media, let alone fandom. And we can just, you know, it's just like a big sports bar, basically. We're all can dissect the games and offer our own analysis and insight. And it's I think, really helped kind of explode and shed the stigma of women as fans.
You know, I look at things a lot differently now, Melissa, also, because I have two daughters, and they are mm-hmm. 5 and 6, and I think that they like football. They might just like being with daddy while I'm watching football, you know? So they're pretty young. I actually encourage that because I broadcast so many games, and I leave them so often to go to a football mm-hmm. game or, like, to go talk about football somewhere, that I don't want them to have a negative, you know, relationship with football. Like, football yeah. equals my daddy leaving, you know? Like, football is bad. I want mm-hmm. them to like it. And so, honestly, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to get a chance to chat with you, because I look at a lot of things in life now through their eyes, and you're an inspiration, you know, to start a website yeah. like this, to have a following like you have. It's not easy at all. I mean, it's not easy for anybody to get a following. I know that. But for you to get the following that you have and have all the content and the website that you have, it really is an inspiration, Melissa, to a lot of women and young girls.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm sort of in a similar situation with I have two boys, 4 and 7, and I don't even broadcast games like you do, but there's a lot of football going on in the house, and especially in this day and age, like how you keep your kids having a positive relationship, like that really rings home. For me, I actually, for my 7-year-old, I started him in fantasy football last year, which might have been the worst mistake or the best thing I've done for the goal of him liking football. But yeah, it's interesting, like how you really can get a kid wrapped in. It's luckily they're at that age. Like I think it's pretty easy because the NFL is so good at making it, you know, such an entertainment value for them.
I want to specifically ask you a couple things about women in the NFL, and let's start with the media. What are your thoughts on where we are with women in the media? Obviously, that can encompass a lot of different things, but do you feel like progress has been made, and or, you know, what would you like to see in the future?
I'm actually very, very thrilled with where we are. I mean, you know, I'm one of those women that's sort of, you know, been like beating the drum for more women, you know, in every facet, rightfully so, I think. But I mean, I look at the media and I look at, you know, even on a team level, I think almost every team has a female beat writer. Even this week, I saw the Kansas City Chiefs hired a woman. I don't think they're getting hired remotely because they're women. But it's just nice to see the normalization. Obviously on a national level, I wish there were more national voices. I think there's not that many out there that can cover the league as a whole that are sort of that national reporter. I know like Jenny Brentis is one who's amazing. I don't think there's any reporter in football as good as her. But there aren't, I'd like to see more. And I think it's hard because you have to, you know, Jenny came up through the ranks of covering a team, and it's, you know, it's hard to kind of, I guess that's sort of the path that you have to take, and maybe we'll see more women come out. But I do think it's hard. I mean, obviously, you know, major major kudos to, like, the goddess, Beth Moens, as I call her. I think she broadcasted 4 games last year. She was on play-by-play after doing Monday Night Football in week 1 with Rex Ryan, which you know, she carried him, and she's tremendous. I think there's a lot of, you know, I hear from a lot of girls. I had Beth Moens on my podcast, and after that, you know, you just hear from, like, a lot of young budding broadcasters that are like, she's such an inspiration. I can do that. And just seeing that those paths are available that weren't there before, that there's an actual pipeline, I think is just going to make more and more women in these jobs where we are actually talking about X's and O's, which I think that's the distinction between, you know, I mean, it's feature writing is great and tremendous, but to have women that are, you know, dissecting plays and schemes and, you know, route trees, hey, Cam Newton and all that is, you know, the wave of the future.
Well, and it seems like that has sort of coincided with there being more opportunities for women to play the game. And there's a lot more opportunities than people realize. I've watched some of the games. I've talked to some of the players. And then also, you know, to coach. You know, we're starting to see some right. women in coaching.
Oh, and that is, yeah. I mean, that has been unbelievable. And, you know, another one of my podcast guests recently is Jennifer King, who plays football. She plays professionally for the New York Sharks. She's actually a wide receiver and a quarterback. And then one of her other teams, she actually played quarterback and free safety. Could you imagine, like, hey, Tom Brady, you're going to go play free safety now. but she, you know, you see her, she was brought on by Ron Rivera as a rookie mini camp coach, and then she was kept on for training camp. She's going to be there. Training camp, you know, the Ravens brought in three women. I mean, the NFL, it's so interesting for me because there have been a lot of, you know, societal issues as it relates to women, you know, largely like with domestic violence, the way the league has handled it. But then the league had this, you know, this group that basically is being very proactive about in creating that pipeline for female coaches. And like, they didn't have to do that. Like, usually the league is reactive to so many things, but in this case, it's just, you know, something that was pitched to them and they felt was right. So now they have a whole department and they're putting on these forums and they're connecting these female football players who literally love the game so much. They're paying to play and pairing them with the Ron Riveras of the world, David Shaw at Stanford, and they're getting opportunities. So it's really, really cool to see. And I know here in San Francisco, Katie Sowers was brought on, you know, by Kyle Shanahan last year. Now she's going to be a full-time receivers coach this season. So it's just like getting that introduction, that foot in the door, and that's what the NFL is doing now. So
yeah,
awesome.
I mean, I look at it now, Melissa, and I wonder, I don't know that they're going to go down this road. They seem much more into dresses and princesses than they do sports or football, and that's fine. But, you know, I'd like to think that my daughters, if one of them really loved it, would have the opportunity to maybe be a scout or be in a front office or coach or something like that. So I like that these opportunities are opening up. And it's so funny because anytime you have these conversations, I really think people's opinions change or are altered a bit when they have daughters. You know, it's like, I feel like for every situation, I think if everybody had daughters and sons and everybody had, you know, children with different sexual orientations or what, I just think that changes everything. You know, like once you have somebody in your family or you know somebody that's in a situation, it brings it, and someone that you love, obviously, it brings it a lot closer to home. You know, the one point I would make, Melissa, about women in the NFL media, and I don't know if this is controversial or you'll disagree or whatever, but so when I do sideline a lot for primetime games for Westwood One Radio, and I like to think that I provide a pretty good amount of value there, whether it's just things I see from the field, observations, you know, usually the color commentator is Boomer Esiason. So a lot of times he's looking at it more from the quarterback's perspective and the coverage. And I'm looking more at the front seven and the O-line and the D-line. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And I know that ESPN's doing that on Monday Night Football with Booger McFarland and Jason Witten. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of women that do an outstanding job as sideline reporters and reporting information and asking questions. And I recognize that, you know, there are other factors in play with certain female sideline reporters, and, you know, for the broadcast. I get that, especially for the telecast. I understand that. Right. Look, you can say it, but there's a lot of factors. But I actually think, I don't know. I think that I don't want to say that I think that hurts the growth of women in football, but I guess I would just like to see more value in every aspect of it. And that would mean more women having some of the other jobs that we talked about where I think they could provide value. And maybe this is just my bias because I do it, but more men being sideline reporters. Because I think that there are women like Doris Burke is amazing. You mentioned Beth Mowen. Like there are women that I think really provide a lot of value. And then there are some that I'm not sure that they are providing as much value as perhaps like a former player could provide.
Well, I also think we've seen like Tony Siragusa on the sideline not providing the kind of value, you know, like you might.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, I think Melissa, I think Siragusa ruined it for a lot of people like me because he was such a goofball that anytime you talked about having a player on the sidelines, everybody's like, oh, like Siragusa? No, I don't want that. He kind of that kind of backfired us, I think.
I know. I get it. And I think I agree with you. Obviously, a lot of women get the jobs for reasons that aren't, you know, their film study per se. But there are women, I mean, like Michelle Tafoya, Laura Oakman, I mean, that I wish we could see them in the booth. And I actually asked Michelle Tafoya once, and she said she didn't want to be in the booth. But, like, she, you know, Andrea Kramer, like, they know the game. But I think anyone on the sideline, I think the post-game, you know, you've just won the Super Bowl, and, like, capturing that moment is awesome, and whoever can do it because they have the connections and all of that or ask the right questions and you know, can hustle, like, that's awesome. That's, you know, sometimes very memorable moments. But the rest of the game, like, I just think people, if they're going to be on the sideline, should have some kind of insight to offer, be it, like, the formation of the front seven or, you know, I've talked about, you know, our mutual friend Stefania Bell, like, having an injury analyst that isn't necessarily diagnosing, but can, you know, give a little more insight into an injury, like almost that's probably the thing that irks me the most about any sideline reporter, male or female, is like someone goes down and they just wait, you know, they typically just have to wait for the team PR to give them the medical update and they don't really have any insight to what that injury is. And people, especially obviously with fantasy football, like really want to know what that potentially means. So yeah, anyone, you know, who can offer see some aspect of the game that adds something that isn't, you know, just we're here and this is what the team PR told us and have a nice day. I agree. It's a value.
Well, that's exactly, Melissa, what you're doing. I mean, whether it's the conversations, the apparel you have is awesome, Football U, the fantasy stuff, the podcast. I'm looking forward to hopefully coming on one of your podcasts soon. It's awesome what you've done.
I think we can make that happen.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. I highly encourage anybody. You don't just have to be a girl. Anybody should go check out thefootballgirl.com or check out Melissa on Twitter @thefootballgirl. She's a great follow and always providing insight. Even I like the stuff you made a great point about Jay Cutler recently, which I thought was awesome. I had teammates, Melissa, of his say, you don't understand. The guy is like a movie character. And he is. He really is. Like, he really is like a movie character. I mean, it's entertaining to watch. That's for sure. Melissa, you're the best. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
So I didn't time it like this, but there's basically no patented awesome Ross Tucker segue I can make between Melissa Jacobs, the football girl, and Saks underwear. So I'm not even going to try. I'll just tell you that Saks underwear is the only underwear I wear. I just got a new shipment of four more pairs, by the way, Kinetic Quest and the Kinetic Training Shorts, which are amazing. They actually tie in the underwear, like the boxer briefs, to the shorts, which is huge for me when I'm working out. I even wear them as my bathing suits now because it's awesome. It's like you still have that feel of having underwear on and the ballpark pouch, keeping your stuff right where you want it to be. But also, you know, you've got shorts on. It's not like you're out there just wearing boxer briefs. It's awesome. These guys have figured it out primarily because of the ballpark pouch. It's basically like taking your boys on like first class flight where you must drink a couple of IPAs because of humanity and because of your 15-year-old self and because of the galaxy. Here's the deal. I worked out a deal for you guys with Saks underwear. Shop from anywhere on their site, anywhere, and get $5 off. Plus, you get free shipping on your first purchase. So no matter what you buy anywhere on their site, $5 is off and free shipping. All you have to do is use my promo code Ross at checkout. Several of you guys have done this because you realized I would not. I mean, first of all, I always tell you guys the truth. Second of all, you really think I would wear underwear every day unless it was freaking awesome? It's freaking awesome. SaksUnderwear.com. S-A-X-X underwear.com. Use the promo code Ross at checkout. SaksUnderwear.com. Promo code Ross.
Tux Takes.
Hey, Ross. Well, training camp news and suspensions to get to, but we do have to start with a very sad report out of Minnesota. Vikings O-line coach Tony Sparano suddenly passed away yesterday at the age of 56.
Yeah, this really hurts, Bri. This really hurts on multiple levels. Number one, I think I've told the story before about how my agent, Joe Linta, you know, really had to pull some strings and really work a bunch of angles to even get me an opportunity as an undrafted free agent with the Redskins in 2001. I mean, my signing bonus was $0.00. And the primary reason why he was able to get me an opportunity with Marty Schottenheimer's Redskins in 2001 was Tony Sparano. Because Tony Sparano is from West Haven, played at New Haven, coached at New Haven, and that is where Joe Linta, my agent, lives because he went to Yale up in New Haven. So they were very close, and my agent really pushed it, and Tony Sparano was able to push it on his end to get it through. So I owe that guy a tremendous, tremendous amount for helping to push through to get me the opportunity. He was actually the tight ends coach and assistant offensive line coach that year. But I did play some tackles, so I would work with him from time to time. He was an awesome guy, and that anybody that's ever played for him will tell you that. You know, there's just certain coaches that like Mike Zimmer and Tony Sparano that all the guys like because there's no BS. They are who they are. You can tell they care about you, but they're also going to tell you when you're messing up. They'll tell you the way it is. So many coaches think that they have to lie to you, that you don't have to lie to us. You just have to tell us the way it is, and we can handle it. And that's what he did. Beloved by all, an excellent, excellent football coach who worked his way up to being a Miami Dolphins head coach, and they won a division. Really, really impressive what Tony Sparano did, and it infuriates me to hear that he went to the hospital with chest pains on a Thursday, was discharged on a Friday, and then this morning, or Sunday morning, before church, his wife found him in the kitchen and was not able to revive him. Boy, and I know, you know, doctors aren't perfect and all that, but that just seems like it should not be. It should not be that somebody's in the hospital with chest pains on a Thursday or Friday and they pass away on a Sunday. That would really, really bother me. It really, really does bother me. It'd bother me even more if I was one of Tony's kids, wife, grandkids, etc.
Tux Takes.
Well, as far as players, news positive for the Colts, with general manager Chris Ballard saying that Andrew Luck was fully cleared and ready to go for camp.
We've been talking about this a lot on Tuckheads, and some people are very high on the Colts and think that Luck will be fine. Others, like Jason, don't think he'll ever play again. I was skeptical. I think it sounds like he's going to play now. I guess I just wonder at how high of a level. I'm just glad that he's going to be able to play, but we'll see. He's got to make it through, you know, the preseason training camp, preseason games, get to week one healthy. And then, you know, once he gets to week one, it's an every week thing. It's not like taking time off, and we'll have to see if he's able to, you know, to play well and to stay healthy. Let's all hope he does. It would really bother me if his career ended, you know, prematurely. It seemed like he was on a path to be one of the all-time, you know, to have a chance to be one of the all-time greats.
Tux Takes.
Some suspension news doled out as well. Jets wide receiver Ardarius Stewart got 2 games under the PED policy for a diuretic, and Jags edge rusher Dante Fowler getting 1 game under the player conduct policy.
I forget what Dante Fowler did. He did like a couple different things, so he got a game. He's in a contract year. The Jags did not pick up his fifth-year option, so he needs to really ball out. But even if he does, that's a tough give a lot of money to, because there's a lot of risk there, injury risk, off-field risk. It's bad. I mean, that's the same with Le'Veon Bell. It's a bad thing. As for Ardarius Stewart, it's weird to me that he only got 2 games. He failed a PED test. It should be 4 games. And I say, well, it's only a diuretic. Well, it's probably only a diuretic because he was probably only masking something. So I don't know how those negotiations or horse trades go. It didn't seem like it used to be that way.
Tux Takes.
Speaking of edge rushers, the Titans put their second-round pick from 2016, Kevin Dodd, on the did-not-report list at the start of their camp.
That's bizarre. Really bizarre. I mean, he's only going into year 3. New coaching staff? And doesn't report to camp? Maybe he doesn't like Vrabel or how they're using him, and he's trying to force a trade? I don't know. But that's really, really bizarre. Really bizarre. It seems to me like maybe he wants a trade, or maybe he doesn't want to play football anymore. That happens to some guys, too. It's a tough sport. It's a tough business. Although I will say this, he has no idea what it used to be like. None.
Tux Takes.
And finally, we've got 2 other quick items of note. Quarterback news, Nick Foles is the #1 merchandise seller among NFL players, and Joe Flacco isn't worried about annoying Lamar Jackson questions because they're going to go away once they start winning.
So it seems like Flacco is really, really, I mean, I have predicted that Flacco is going to play extremely well, because when his back's against the wall, that's when he tends to play his best. So I believe that Flacco is going to play very well. Now, it looks like Lamar Jackson's been good so far in camp as well, but I think drafting Lamar Jackson was kind of the kick in the butt that Flacco needed. And I think he'll play really well. And then the Ravens might have a decision on their hands as to who they trade, or, you know, have an asset there, which is, I think, one of the benefits of taking a second quarterback like that. That's going to be a fascinating, you know, thing to follow. As for Foles being #1 merchandise seller, that's bizarre. That's bizarre to me. Like, I get it. Super Bowl MVP, I get it. And I know he's selling a book, but I mean, #1, he's a backup quarterback who's probably not going to play this year. And if he does play, it's probably not going to be for the team that people are buying the merchandise from. It's probably because he gets traded. It just doesn't seem like a very good investment. I mean, we can talk about memorabilia or merchandise some other time, but it does not seem like a very good investment. What does seem like a good investment in my mind? First Leaf, the only online wine club that uses your ratings to make personalized wine selections matched to your tastes. The more wine you taste and rate, the better they customize your box based on the wines you like. When you sign up with my link, you get your 3-pack of introductory wine for only $15 plus free shipping. If you then rate your first 3 wines, you'll get an extra $10, off your next box of wine. My wife is a big wine drinker. She loves this. She loves being able to rate the different wines. The wines I like to drink with her and tend to drink with her are Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand. Those are my favorite because I like subtle flavors. I don't like it when it's real strong. And I like white wine because I want it like ice cold. I need it ice cold. But anyway, she does most of the rating stuff. Once you rate it, they take a look at your ratings. And the next thing they send you is wine that they know you like based on your ratings. It's awesome. Here's the deal. Use my personal link. You'll get the intro offer, which is 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. Then if you rate those 3, you get an extra $10 off your next box. So you're getting a huge discount and you're getting 6 bottles of wine on a huge discount. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/football. That's tryfirstleaf.com/football. tryfirstleaf.com/football. By the way, Bri, just kind of rethinking this, the first leaf, tryfirstleaf.com/football seems like it would have been the better advertiser for right after Melissa Jacobs, and then we could have done Saks underwear at the end of the show. What do you think?
I think either way, no. I like it just the way it is because now all of a sudden people may be listening to the interview and by all of a sudden making that not so subtle segue into Saks, they're gonna be alert and they're gonna remember what they listened to.
There you go. All right, Bryce. See that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Thank you.
I like it. That'll do it, by the way, for a Monster Monday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Really appreciate your emails, even though we didn't get to one today. We'll get to them a little bit later in the week. We will have the college draft tomorrow with Fran Duffy, which we're actually doing in person. Me, Bri, and Fran all together Tuesday morning in a hotel in Philly because we've got the Podcast Movement Conference. We're going to try to learn more about making great podcasts for you guys, see how we can improve at the Podcast Movement Conference. So looking forward to having a daddy soda with Bri, and we're going to meet up with Andrew. We're going to meet up with Fran. It's going to be awesome. We're getting the gang together. I love it. iTunes ranking. No. That's not how you say it. Apple Podcasts, rate and review the show, please. And if you're not subscribed to the other shows, please subscribe and give them a chance. We really appreciate it. And remember always, the Amazon banner ad, that's a real easy way to get a free month of Tuckheads on the homepage over at rostucker.com. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.